Next step, number 686, July 29th, 2021.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the Next Step with Father Vazquez. We are the voice of Armodoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. We reach out to those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
I wonder if I can take you through a thought process today. Nothing as intense as that, right? Nothing psychedelic, nothing out there. It's actually something very, very personal to my heart, a thought process. I know, it could be like a rabbit hole. You sink into it and you go on. And that's one of the dangers of having thought processes, right? But I wanted to share this one with you because it is so personal. It is so close to my heart, and it's one that's been troubling me for a long time, but it became accented and came to forum, especially yesterday when we heard that there was, again, Azeri fighting and aggression, Azeri aggression, not too far from Yerevan. And the stats were that I think three young Armenian military men were killed on Azeri aggression. So the Armenians are just sitting there, minding their own business, after a horrible war, which was thrown upon them last fall. And now they've got these peacekeepers, they're called, from Russia. They've got people looking on, and they've got Azeris, basically Turks, right? And sworn enemies of Armenians. And not only sworn enemies, but have articulated that Armenia must be rubbed out, must be taken out. And it's part of this big giant process that they have of pan-Turkism from, the Black Sea on, And there's this stumbling block. It's called Armenia. It's this Christian little state in the middle of all this Turkic states. Anyway, yeah, the political ramifications and explanations can be complicated, but it's pretty simple when you look at a map. When you look at the map, it's very simple, right? What becomes the bigger political issues is when you bring in oil, when you bring in the big players like Russia and America and France, and you say, why are these people interested? And then you connect the dots and you find out. I don't want to go to these places. I want to take you through a thought process today. A thought process that I have because, growing up in an anti-war climate, as we did in the 60s and 70s, and really seeing war come into our lives on a daily basis. And by this, I mean, not that we were in a war zone, we were protected from that. But we did have this new means of connecting with the war, which was called television. Believe it or not, yes, it was in the Vietnam War that television played a big part of creating people's feelings. People's anger was provoked because of the images they saw coming into their own living room and seeing young kids dying and seeing young kids being killed. We talk about war so often, and our entire history, human history, is plagued with war. And we talk about wars. There's been countless stories and books written about the art of war, the experience of war. We hear about it in folk myths, folk tales, folk songs. We're off to war. We're going to go and kill. And you know, it all mounted about when the Vietnam War came about here in America, because we were looking, and we're called the superpower. You know, if you think about after the World War II, you had what was called the Cold War, and you basically had two superpowers, which was the Soviet Union, today known, commonly known as Russia. But the Soviet Union entailed much more than Russia. It was a union of Soviet Socialist Republics. That was the official name, the USSR. And among those republics was Armenia. And also among those republics was a place called Azerbaijan. And these republics were under the control of the Soviet Union. Then you had on the West, you had the United States. You had oddball things like the Berlin Wall. You had the Berlin, a wall in the middle of a city, right? Separating Berlin from Berlin, right? Separating people on ideology. Yeah, that's what it was. These were the same people, but it depended on what side of the wall you were on. And if you think about it, when you look at the bigger picture of life, of what's going on in the world, you see that these walls, just as the Berlin Wall, are basically constructions of our liking, of our prejudices. We call this person this kind. Here, take the most common example today is North and South Korea. North and South Korea. Did you know what happened yesterday in North and South Korea? They restored communication hotlines. No, not communication, hotlines. Unbelievable. Okay, so North and South Korea, the same people, by the way, disconnected or cut between ideologies, political ideologies. You've got North Korea and you've got South Korea. And but between them, there are hotlines established a few years ago so that if there is some problems, hey, like what's going on, what's happening, they could talk to one another. Well, last year, 2020, these hotlines were cut. I mean, I thought the whole relations were cut. No, there were hotlines so that they can talk to one another. And just a couple days ago, those hotlines got restored. So in other words, yeah, we want to talk to each other, but only on the critical level. Like, you know, like if there's a need to talk to each other. I told you, we're going to go through a thought process today. Here's my thought process. We live in this horrible neighborhood. Armenia is in a horrible, horrible neighborhood. Yeah. It's like having a house and on all sides of you, your neighbors want to see you eliminated. So they make it rough for you, okay? You take out the trash can and they come and they smash it. They run over it with cars and have trash all over the place. Ah, you'll learn your lesson, right? So you pick up the trash. Then they start putting that trash on fire. Yeah, so you start seeing flames. You wake up in the middle of the night to screaming shotguns, people hitting you, doing things like that. But, you know, you're still intact. Your house is still intact. And then they come and they start vandalizing your house. They start breaking the windows. Now, at what point, what do you do? At some point along the way, you understand that you need to protect yourself and your loved ones. They're inside this house that you call home. And you realize you're just sitting there and you're just a target for everybody. And so you start doing some repairs on the house. Whatever's been vandalized, you know, they've been throwing rocks at the windows. They've maybe put some bushes on fire. You start redecorating and re-putting, you know, redoing the landscaping, maybe to buy some foliage that is fireproof. But they go at it again. This time they just attack your house. They just throw stuff at it. They stand at a distance and start shooting at it. Say your roof comes off, your windows are all shot out. And you start repairing it, and what do you do? What do you do? You call up the police, but the police, you realize that, the police just want to protect you and their thing, but they're not big enough to help you overcome all of your neighbors. They can maybe put one or two of them away, but you got all neighbors on all sides of you. Everywhere you look, they want to see you out of that place. So the thought process goes like this. Well, what do I do at this point? I can leave and live in peace somewhere else. That's possible, right? Another option is stay here. After all, this is my house. I could fight, but I will be outnumbered. And at the end of the day, I realize that outnumbered will be to a point where they will overtake me. They will overtake my house, and they will eventually kill me. So by staying here, what have I won? What do I have by staying here at the house? At the end of the day, it's not mine anyway, right? It's going to be taken away. The memories that I have within my house are mine. That's what defines me. That's what makes me who I am. Those memories make me specifically me. Just as Armenia, if we were to get up and leave Armenia today and go to some other land, what is it about Armenia that makes it Armenia? It's the memories. It's the memories of knowing, Horvirab, of knowing Mount Ararat, of going out into the wilderness and walking and seeing the beauty out there, of seeing Karahunj and realizing astronomers sat there and charted out the skies. It's looking at the pain and the struggle of the people. It's looking at Sardarabad and seeing a will of a people standing up against oppression, against enemies. It's those memories that make you who you are. It's that those memories that make the stories. Another word for the memories, of course, is the history, the stories. That's what makes Armenia what it is. And same thing with you in your life. It's your memories. That's what makes you who you are. This is one of the greatest tragedies of Alzheimer's disease, right? When that memory is lost, it's that loss of self. Who are you? Where are you? People who have struggled with this, when I say that, not people who have struggled with the disease, but more of the people who have struggled with people who have had that disease, loved ones, family members who have struggled with Alzheimer's. This is what they talk about. The loss of self, of identity. And so it's those memories that keep you, and you say, okay, well, I want to stay here. The thought process, I want to stay here, retain those memories because they identify who I am. But I realize by staying here, I will lose my life as it is. So what have I gained by staying here? Okay, so you say, well, what can I do? What are my solutions? Thought process, right? Expand the thought process. Well, I called the police, but the police came out and they said, well, we can take care of one or two of your neighbors, but we can't deal with everybody because they're on all sides of you. And by the way, buddy, it's not just your immediate neighbors. It's people on the blocks that go on and on and on and on. It's people in miles away from you who want to see you out of this place. So even if we took in just the five or six neighbors that you have, and we went and we said, stop it. I mean, there's like thousands, there's like so many people all around you want to see you just leave, get out of here. Okay, so you say, well, what can I do? Well, you know what? I have uniqueness. I'm a unique person. And can I appeal to people who recognize that uniqueness? Ah, that's an interesting one. Armenia, sitting there, is a Christian nation. In fact, it has a unique calling in that it is what? The first Christian nation. So you would think that other Christian nations, there isn't such a thing anymore, right? That's an archaic term, isn't it? Christian nation. There are no Christian nations. There are people who are Christian, nations who have Christians in there, but still we retain this beautiful notion that somehow it's a Christian nation. Okay, let's play with that. Can we get people to buy into that and say that, okay, there is a Christian nation, at least in history-wise, 1,700 years ago, this nation was the first one to call itself Christian. Shouldn't we stand up and say, okay, everybody back off. This is a Christian nation. Oh, what interest do people have? What interest do they have? So what? And it's just like your house in the neighborhood. What interest do they have? What do you have to offer? Okay, what if I told you that underneath my house I had a well? And in that well there was oil, which can be refined. In fact, it goes all the way to the center of the earth, if there is such a concept, right? But you get the idea. In other words, I have resources. That's what I want to say. I have resources. Now I'm valuable. I'm a valuable commodity. I am a valuable commodity at this point. Now, maybe those people that are miles away will say, hey, let's go and help them out because at the end, we can use their resources. But what if I don't have those resources? Okay, well, do I have other resources that I can sell? Well, I have intelligence. I have the ability to process. But you know what? On the grand scale of things, there are a lot of people who have that. What is it that I have? And then I make that connection. I have a Christian faith which has not been exploited. Now, that word is a powerful word. We don't want to use that word, exploited. But actually, why not? Why not use that word? In fact, Christ uses that word, doesn't he? About exploiting the potential. Doesn't he do that in the parable of the prophets? Doesn't he do that when he talks about selling everything for the kingdom? Isn't that what he's talking about when he says that when you find that pearl of great value, you sell everything to acquire that pearl? There is something that is greater. There is something greater than yourself, than your existence, and it is worth you giving everything to. And so in this thought process that I'm having is that, okay, I'm being bombarded by everyone all around me. What is that one thing that can be shining, that people can look at? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It's a very lonely, lonely place. It's a lonely, lonely place because to imagine myself having that unique position means I've got to get all of my household on board on the same page. But not everybody in the household is on the same page. Well, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Armenia. Because we've been conditioned through the years to believe in other things, to believe in politics, to believe that Big Brother can take care of us, to believe that the Soviets are up there, that the Russians are on the field, they're going to help us out. So I've been conditioned through the years to believe that, wait a minute, I cannot do this on my own power. There is nothing for me to shine about. And in so doing, I have lost hope. Hope that things can be better. And that's what's coming out right now. That's what's happening all around. When you look at what's going on in Armenia, and as a person who's on the outside, as a Christian priest, one who has the values of Christ and wants to understand that other Christians in the world will tune into this, I am appalled that the world is staying silent. But I am not surprised because I don't have those resources underground. But I certainly do have those resources above the ground. And that's what I want to sell. That's what I need to sell. That's the one item that I took from the anti-war movement and want to bring it to here. Because we are living in a world where we cannot accommodate war any longer. We have come to a point where we cannot say more war. War is the way that we solve situations. And let me tell you, diplomacy is out the door because it is based on war. We have to get beyond the usual, well, insanity, right? Doing the same thing, expecting different results. I'm going to do the same thing over and over and over again. And by the way, I'm expecting different results at the end. It's not going to happen. That's what Einstein referred to as insanity. We know that, right? So how do I move beyond that? Hope. That's where we're going to come back to, because if you've been following the Olympics, something amazing happened just yesterday. And that's what I'm going to share with you. We are going down a rabbit hole? No. We're just going through a thought process today. I want to share with you how thoughts evolve, how they come about, and what we do with those thoughts. Let's take a break right now just to process everything that we have right now, and we'll come back after the song of the day.
Criticism held bondage by our isms. When will there be a time to love? We make time to debate religion, passing bills and building prisons, building fortunes and passing judgment. When will there be a time? When will there be a time to love? When you're weary, feeling small, we
time to love and bridge over troubled waters. Stevie Wonder doing that performance, obviously, you heard his voice. That is off of an album which brought humanitarian relief to the earthquake victims in Haiti. This was back in 2010, 11 years ago, and a huge earthquake rumbled through there. And a group of entertainers got together and sponsored this event that brought relief. And it was called Hope for Haiti. I thought it, Hope for Haiti Now, actually, and I'll have a link on today's show notes. But I wanted to play it. Of course, brings us into the mood, makes you think about the bridge over troubled waters, but also kind of going in the flow of what we've been talking about losing that hope, about having that hope, and based on what? What is it that you have? What is it that you need to shine? That has been our conversation thus far. Let's continue. I've been asking you to go on this thought process with me, one that has been provoked in a sense by the activities that took place yesterday when Azerbaijan once again started attacking Armenians. And you start thinking, okay, well, what's the end of this? I mean, it's just a bad neighborhood. Do we just need to get out? And you say, well, we can't get out. And then you say, well, where is the help? Where are all these people? And you start questioning the values that you have, the values that are yours, that you've given your life to. You've wanted to believe that as Christians, we can stand above it all, that we can offer hope, we can find hope. And you start looking around and seeing that, okay, well, wait a minute, maybe you're the only one believing in this stuff. And for what? Because you listen to other people and they'll talk a good talk about Christianity, about how great it is and how Christianity can help you and do this and that. And yet, here's a group of people that, if any time needed, that community of believers to surface and to say, hey, wait a minute, let's stop. Where's the world stage? Where's the world theater right now? It's gone. It's nothing's there. And then you start putting it together and you start realizing, well, wait. If we had oil underneath the land, if we had resources, there were diamond mines and gold, which they say, oh yeah, here and there. But if there was substantial of to the number, you'd start saying, okay, maybe people might do it. Or maybe that's the reason why others want this land. And it's a double-edged sword. And you come back to the basic issue of what is your faith about? What have you been living? What have you been preaching all of this time? A couple days ago on the Olympics, when the Olympics started, I love watching these games because you got some of the best of the best. And you know what's really exciting about it is that there's young people in there. It's just such a nice connection with people who are just starting off. Especially, I don't know if you saw the swimmers, there was a 17-year-old young girl who was swimming and she won from Alaska. And when she won, they showed you the picture of all of her schoolmates jumping and rejoicing. And then you hear the background story that in all of Alaska, there's not even a 50-meter pool for her to have practiced on, and yet she comes to this international competition and she wins the gold medal. You know, you get excited. It's beautiful, beautiful stories. And it's not the only one. There are so many stories throughout the Olympics. Among them, the ones from the Fiji. Now, this is the one that really got me. I'm sure if you saw it, it got to you too. So what happens is the men's rugby team from Fiji, they win and they break out in a song. They break out in a song. Let me read this to you before I play it for you. It's just so beautiful. The Fiji men's rugby sevens team took home the gold medal on Wednesday with 27-12 win over New Zealand. The victory made them back-to-back Olympic champs as they won gold in Rio de Janeiro 5 years ago. But this one meant so much more to them considering their painful journey to this point that had the players isolated away from their families 5 to 6 months because of the pandemic. And they broke out in this song. Let's see, there's somebody's blogged this way. It says, "What a moment. Fiji's rugby team sing their hearts out for their nation after winning the gold. This is a team that had to come here on a freight plane and spent months away from their families because of COVID." Let's listen in, okay? Now, I'd like you to go to the show notes and see the video of this, okay? Because it is visual as much as it is auditory. You can listen to it and still feel it, of course, but when you see it, it's just something else. And you see these men, the struggles they've had and where they are today and singing. And it is a beautiful reflection of what the human spirit is about. Because here, this is how we're going to tie all this together. I told you from the beginning, we were going to go down this thought process, and I promised you that it wouldn't be a rabbit hole. We wouldn't just be going endlessly. There has to be a way of connecting it. And this is what's so important about our Christian faith. It has to mean something to us today in our lives. Despite the hopelessness that we see around us, we have to be able to connect with something that is hopeful. And when you see these guys do this, sing this, you realize, okay, it's for their country. Now, country is an important thing. It gives you identity. As a human being, you are not just flesh. You are a soul and you are a spirit. And that spirit is nurtured. It connects with something greater than yourself. This is where identity comes into it. Something that's bigger, that you share in common with other people. In this case, we see these men from Fiji. They are connecting together as a rugby team, but much more than that. They're connecting with their families. Their families belong in a geography that is described as Fiji, and that geography describes who they are. In a very real sense, this is what happens to us as Armenians too. We realize that we're looking for hope amidst a hopeless situation. And when you start reaching out to one another, what did I say a few minutes ago? You look around in your home and you start seeing that not everybody is on the same page. So the challenge really is to bring people onto the same page, not by struggles, but by engaging them in a realistic dialogue. That we can't do the same things over and over and over, expecting different results. Perhaps this is the time to take a fresh, new approach. And this new approach is actually the same approach that Jesus had. He came here to show us how to live, how to reach out to one another. Because you look at the world and you say, okay, where are all these people? Where are all these Christians? Where are all these Christians today? We are the first Christian nation, right? This is the thought process. We are the first Christian nation. So wouldn't you think that when we are being attacked, that other Christians from throughout the world will wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, there's this small little enclave, there's this small little area called Armenia amidst all of these other people who want us and want them annihilated. We need to be standing with them. We need to be out there and saying, we're with you, you're not alone. Here is that bridge over your troubled water, right? So that's the thought process it goes. Now, what's the next step in that thought process? You say, why aren't they there? Well, there's no resources here. There's nothing for them to gain. What's in that for them? Wait a minute. You left out one little step. Where were you? What? Where were you? Something happened in Haiti 11 years ago. There was a horrible, horrible earthquake there. Where were you? What did you do about it? Something happened in Darfur. There was a genocide there. Where were you? Where was something happened in Rwanda? Are we so consumed with ourselves that we forget that instead of crying, where is everybody for us, that we haven't been out there for others? We have not been out there for others means that, yeah, we are being convicted by the same indifference that we've shown to others. This is why we started In His Shoes. What was in his shoes? What is in his shoes? It's an answer to the Armenian genocide 100 years later. It's an answer not by saying, let's go and shoot down Turks. It's an answer not by saying, let's go and bring down Turkey, because you can't do that. You can't fight evil with more evil. It's an answer by saying, let's fight it with love. And by having you do something for others, you start broadening your horizon. What was the essence of belonging? What was the essence of that song that we just heard? They belong to a bigger family. And that's what we need to do. We need to believe that we belong to a bigger family. It's not the Armenian family. It's the human family. It's the family that hurts, that is in pain all around us, that is struggling. And yes, I would love to be out there fighting Azeris any way that I can to get them to stop. Okay, if I said that any way that I can right now, there is a calling. It is the calling that Christ makes. Understand them as also children of God. Oh, I know, it's horrible. I can't think of it that way, but you can. Because once you do that, you start realizing that if they're the children of God, so are everybody else. So is everyone else who is looking out at you, understanding about themselves. Once they start understanding that, we can start understanding that we can live in harmony. And now we understand why Jesus came, why he said what he did. It wasn't about a life to come. It's about the life right here, peace on earth and goodwill, harmony between us. And it has to start someplace. Yeah, somebody's got to start it. What is the point of forgiveness? What does 7 times 77 mean? It means to forgive. It means somebody has to start it. And it's not easy at all. It is painful. It hurts. I confess to you as a priest that it is very painful. And sometimes it feels hopeless. But you know what? There are these bright little lights out there. And these bright little lights point us to forgiveness. I have been forgiven in my life, and therefore I need to forgive others. That's a commandment by Jesus, by the way, right? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's reciprocal. I know in my life, personally, I've been forgiven. I need to therefore forgive others. As a people, as a nation, those are big challenges because we're not all on the same page. Not everybody believes that. Not everybody believes that same story. Okay, that's fine, but it has to start someplace. And we can preach all we want, but it has to start with example for us to be able to be out on the front, helping others in need and putting our stamp on it. Saying, yes, I did this because Christ commanded me to do it. The time to keep quiet is no longer around. We need to say it. And that's what we do within His Shoes. It is based on Christ's solid principles of love conquering hatred, of good conquering evil. That's how simple it is. And it's the example that Jesus gave us with his life and with his preaching. So that's the invitation today. That's the invitation, because it can get really down. You can get down. But I invited you to take this thought process with me, and I hope you saw that it doesn't have to end in an endless rabbit hole where it just goes down, down, and there's new places that open up. No. It does come full circle. You can come out of that thought process. And when you do that thought process properly, yes, I'll use that term. I know it's subjective. I'll use it because I believe it. When you do it properly, you find you end up at a place where it all connects together. And you realize it is the only way. It is the only way that you can overcome that evil with good, with love, with kindness, beginning with forgiveness. All of these things fall into place when you do the thought process, when you go through that thought process and you say, okay, I'm in this horrible, horrible neighborhood. How am I going to overcome? I'm going to overcome by looking beyond my neighborhood and seeing, hey, there's a neighbor down the street, a few miles away, a few countries away, who is in trouble, who needs help. Can I reach out to that? What can you reach out with? Well, I could reach out with certain things, with offering hope. I could be that bridge over troubled waters. I could sing a song. I could make a contribution. I could do something. Okay, and when that guy down there, in that other neighborhood, in that other country, realizes that he has a friend who's sitting where you're sitting, and when 10 of those people understand that there are 10 others, when others start understanding that Christianity is not a faith about going to heaven and I'm lucky because I go and you don't, but it's a faith about how to live in our lives today, about Jesus Christ being an example of love and sacrifice for one another, then we start understanding that we can build upon that. And that's what we need today. That is a solid, solid plan. And it goes beyond politics. It goes beyond all of the financial rescue plans that they're sending out there, because we can all do it. We can all participate in building this bridge, in building this opportunity towards love. All right, we'll take a break right now. Here's Susie to make her announcement. I'll be back in a few minutes to wrap things up, okay?
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazquez, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Well, we got through today's podcast in a rather different manner. I didn't want to just come out and say these are some issues, but I wanted us to really think about a thought process, that God gives us this beautiful tool to use. Our thoughts, our emotions, our spirit, our soul, they shouldn't stay dormant. They shouldn't be in the background and say, okay, God gave us a Bible, read it, and then go live. You know, no. experiment, explore more than anything else. Explore this beautiful life that God has given you. And that's why I wanted to take you through this thought process. And I would love to hear from you if your thought process ends in a different way or if it takes you in a different direction. Certainly, that's valid. That's something that you did. I don't want to sound that I'm doing exclusively. I'm sharing you what Armodoxy is, what Armenian Orthodoxy is without all the hoopla. That's what we call Armodoxy. And I'm sharing that with you, but I would love to hear more from you. So please drop me a line. I'm at feedback@epostle.net. That's apostle with an E. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. That being said, I've got a lot of things coming up in the month of August, including the Assumption Feast and a few activities taking place. Do check with us at inhisshoes.org. And of course, I am at the Western Diocese. You can know what's going on at the Western Diocese of the Armenian Church on the Facebook page and on their website. Well, that does it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of our producer, Susie, and myself, Father Voskin, we look forward to seeing you again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath cut out!
I want to test you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.
Off the long top, Lizette!